This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, September 7th. Well, we had a nice holiday break, giving the market some time to breathe and giving the Gulf ports some more time to get revitalized here. We had quite a bit of damage from Hurricane Ida, and it looks like most of the export facilities expect to be back up and running this week as long as electricity comes. There are some Cargill facilities that look like they'll be down for a while. However, they are diverting as much export capacity as they can to other locations, but they are going to be missing out on some of that Gulf loading. Nevertheless, we did see prices last week take a fairly big hit in the row crops, largely because of that. And of course, we are headed into harvest for corn and beans, but the sudden drop in export FOB offers out of the Gulf, because we just didn't know the extent of the damage, when electricity would come back, when employees would be able to come back. So exporters pretty much just withdrew all their offers and started to try to divert as much of the product as they could that was en route over to other export regions, particularly the PNW. The Mississippi River is open after the weekend, but again, it's going to take still yet a few days at least to assess where we're at as far as machinery and capacity and employees across much of the export loading facilities, particularly in New Orleans, Louisiana. So for the week, we had corn down 30. Soybeans were also down 31. Wheat, however, was fairly quiet. It got drugged down a little bit by the row crops, but for the most part, it just traded sideways. We had Kansas City just down 1, Minneapolis down 6, Chicago was also down 6. In world FOB offers, continuing to creep higher across most of the FOB offers. U.S. soft red wheat was up 4 at $323 a ton. Hard red winter wheat was up 3 at $321. Ukraine up 8 at $299. Russia up 1 at $304. Argentina down 5 at $285. And French wheat was down 5 as well at 300 even. Russian prices usually set world price, but boy, they have not been the leader this year for a variety of reasons. Number one, and this started, you know, months before the harvest, the government imposed an export tax, and it was a floating tax. So exporters were never really certain the exact number of what that tax would be. So it was hard to really put out a FOB offer that with concrete numbers, because they just didn't know what their tax was going to be. That slowed down exports out of Russia, which was the intended effect anyway, as domestic prices had soared to all-time highs, even with a record crop last year. Now this year, with that tax, and then as we got into harvest, yields were way less than what the trade was expecting. And then winter wheat seeding acreage was reduced as well. So that was kind of a double whammy to winter wheat production. And it was, again, far less than expected. And as we are getting into the spring wheat harvest, we're finding the same thing, that spring wheat yields are less than expected. So production coming out of Russia is plummeting. Earlier in the year, at the very beginning of the growing season, they were projecting a crop almost as big as last year's record crop, and it of around 85 million tons. Right now, that estimate is hovering between 70 and 72, so it's a huge drop from where we were sitting and expecting just 3 or 4 months ago. USDA last month took Russian production down fairly aggressively. They took it down to 72. The private estimates coming out of Russia now, again, hovering around 70 to 72. That's going to take their exports down significantly as well. USDA has them at 35. The trade's expecting probably more around 30. So this helps explain why Russian prices have continued to ratchet higher, which pushes their export tax higher yet. So it's, you know, it feeds on itself. But Russian farmers also were very slow sellers right out of harvest. They had storage capacity. They took advantage of that. That helped push prices up as well. But we're seeing the Russian farmers start to let go of some of that wheat as they get into corn and sunflower harvest. They need the space. They also need the money to prepare for winter wheat planting. So we are starting to see some offers and some business coming out of Russia. But again, the world is expecting that you're probably not going to see Russia be the leader as far as price setting. Now, that said, it doesn't mean that the Black Sea is going to be absent. What we look at when we look at Ukraine, record crop out of Ukraine, Romania, those countries have kind of picked up the pace a little bit from Russia. They are capturing pretty much all of the Egyptian business. They are setting world price, but they don't have near the volume. They will run out of wheat far earlier than Russia would have run out of wheat. So we still look to the Black Sea region as far as world price setting, but we're also going to be looking broader too. You know, here in the U.S., we've been consistently higher than the rest of the world because of our drought in the northern plains and up in the Canadian prairies. Similar story. U.S. spring wheat production down about 35% from last year. The same thing with Canadian production. That keeps spring wheat prices high. And again, you had a lower spring wheat crop coming out of Russia than we expected. Now, they don't export spring wheat, but still the drop in production pulls that winter wheat back up into the interior that would have gone out to the export facilities. So it's supportive of world prices across the board. Now, we're looking at the southern hemisphere, Argentina, Australia. Their growing season's getting off to a good start. Australian government estimates are starting to ratchet higher. We're at 32.6 million tons. That's up about 2.6 million over what USDA had projected last month. And last year, it's pretty close to last year's record of 33.3. So Australia off to a very good start. And I would expect that we're going to see decent competition from them. It usually comes from the soft wheat type of wheat, and it goes into the Southeast Asian markets. So it's a fairly well-defined market for them, but it will compete head-to-head with our soft wheat as well. In Argentina, they got off to a little bit of a rocky start with some dryness conditions. I will say that La Nina has started to redevelop down there, and that probably will not affect their wheat crop really. It by the time it really gets going, the Argentine wheat crop will be well established, but it certainly could cut into the corn and soybean production for them down the road. So there's a lot going on. You know, weather in the southern hemisphere looks okay for now. In the northern hemisphere, the harvest is behind us, and it's a matter of, you know, where the exports are coming from right now. Ukraine and Romania are pushing wheat out pretty aggressively, but they're going to run out fairly soon. And then I think it really just is a matter of demand coming to the U.S. The bigger picture for wheat in general worldwide has been one of declining production this year. Demand has been fairly consistent, and I think we've turned into a long-term bull market. We're not going to be able to make up for the drop in production at the earliest until the winter wheat harvest next summer. That depends on an increase in winter wheat plantings this fall. And the northern plains still pretty dry and still very hot. The southern plains starting to see some heat as well. They've had some rains, but I would expect that winter wheat plantings would probably be at least steady with last year in the southern plains. But really, we need a pretty big increase in plantings. And with high prices of corn and beans, it does set the stage for competition for those acres. If we don't have decent moisture conditions, especially in the Dakotas where they can switch to spring wheat, then they'll probably just wait it out and see what the spring brings. So the bottom line is you need to see a pretty healthy increase in winter wheat acres, or you're going to continue this bull market for yet another year, most likely. And it's going to be difficult to make this kind of production losses up with spring wheat. And again, if corn and bean prices are high, those acres will probably shift over to the row crops. So we'll see. But for now, I think it's just simply a matter of following along with the normal seasonal pattern. We tend to see an increase in world commerce, world trade, after harvest and into the fall. So we're still looking at early October to be a seasonal high. I think we'll have a good strong uptrend until then. Then we'll get the southern hemisphere harvest that comes in and kind of stalls out the market for a month or two. As we get into the spring, I would expect the dynamics to be yet even stronger, because you're coming into the tail end of supplies. Markets are going to shift to the remaining supplies and to acreage and trying to buy acres, and it's the acreage battle yet again as we get into the springtime. So we see their typical seasonals, early October for a high, early February for a high, and then early May for a high. Those would be the time windows that I would target if you're developing a marketing plan. If you have any questions, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.